of Holy Spirit songs. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and there's many more. But we, each one, have to welcome the Holy Spirit into our lives. We have to say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in me. And when we do that, we open the door to blessings, for the Spirit to lead us. Scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. It doesn't say and daughters. I'm including that because that's the way God is. He includes us all. But if we're welcoming of the Holy Spirit, we open doors for ourselves spiritually. I feel like I'm getting a buzz. I expected to be here the last 2 weeks, but my treatment had another thing in mind. And someone said, well, what are we going to do with all these side effects? I said, we're going to endure them because that's my hope, to get better. Some of them are kind of tough. And Debbie said the other day, said, you had a fever of 107. I thought it was 104. But we're going to go through it because that's the way that we have right now to get well. And so I'm going to do the best I can to be here. That's my hope, because I love the Spirit moving, singing the songs, and worshiping the Lord. And we will do prayer in just a bit. But I want to start with my message. Actually, I had prepared for a couple of weeks ago. And I feel that this is still viable today. The message is submitted. I've read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And I like the part about the worship and the prayers and all that we do. Verse 21 always kind of, I thought, does that need to be there? It says, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And the word submit means to yield power over yourself to others. I don't think it's all that cool of an idea to be submitting to one another, but it's the Word of God. And it's connected to worship. Isn't that amazing? It's connected to our worship. Now, the way we submit to one another is horizontally. In other words, we don't submit to man as being over us. We have leadership and all of that, but that leadership has to be careful not to lord over God's people, but to lead them as equals. I really get concerned when I hear someone speak of a person as everything they've ever wanted to follow and having the absolute best idea for their life. There's only one person that has the best idea for your life, and that's Jesus. So we submit to one another in the fear of God. Now we go vertical. Now we go, God is up and he's above all. And if we submit to one another, and I'm going to give you another idea of what that submitting is all about. But that's our verse, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Lord, I ask your blessing upon this message. It has a lot of parts, but we have a lot of parts. And I pray that you will help us to continue to keep the parts connected and to do the very best we can as a body in worshiping, in prayer. Lord, what an amazing prayer service we had. And our hearts are open before you. And Lord, we're not just asking, we're believing. We want to see these situations ministered to. We want to open our heart to you, submit to you in every way. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to get into parts. And I think that that's how submitting comes into a clearer definition. Because I'm going to read 14 through 31, chapter 12. Now chapter 12 introduces the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13 is what? Thank you. Chapter 14 is Paul trying to straighten out the Corinthian church on how the gifts of the Spirit should operate. I'm very thankful that the Corinthian church had trouble, because this is first introduction to the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12, and then 14, how to behave with them. So, I'm going to go kind of slow, because that's the way I need to go to keep up with me. For the body is not one member, but many. I'm not even going to get into talking about the heart and the kidneys and liver and all that. Just the body. We have an example right now, right before us. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No part can opt out. The foot can say all it wants to, I'm not of the body, but it still is. The foot is needed. And it can't be the hand. We've already got the hand. And if the ear shall say, I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not of the body? And of course, the answer is, it's still of the body. No matter what kind of jealousy there might be between a hand and a foot or whatever, it's still part of the body and it has to do its own job. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So we need every part doing its job because we need to smell the beautiful aromas, cooking and flowers and other things. We need to see. We need every part of the body. We need to hear. Verse 18, but now hath God set every member, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. God has created this body to where it's right. In Psalms 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You can glorify God, praise God, because you were made perfectly. Perfectly, wonderfully. Marvelous are thy works, speaking to God, and that my soul knoweth that right well. Now, getting back to my verse 18, but now hath God set many members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And they were all, if they were all one member, where would the body? If you just had an arm laying out there, then it wouldn't do you much good. If you just had a foot and a leg, wouldn't do you much good. It takes every part. But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. How many knows what the V8 deal is, where the guy hits his head and says, I could have had a V8? I've always thought, now that's going to hurt. But if my head says to my feet, I have no need of you, after not you being able to use my feet for 2 or 3 months, I'm going to give him one of those. And he's going to have to straighten up. No part of the body can deny another. We just can't do that. And we need to honor the weaker members. Have you ever stubbed your toe? At night, come around the bed, wham! What in the world is that foot of that bed doing sticking out in my way where I hit my toe on it? It doesn't take much to really get hurt. You think, well, that's just a toe. That toe is very important, and it helps us to walk, and we don't want to hit it. Verse 23 says, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more honor to the part which lacked. Now, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. And I like this part about the schism, because when you think of a body, there's no place to be divided. There's no place, no place at all. We don't want any division among the members of our body. And that we should care for each part. If you get a broken arm, every part of your body has sympathy for that arm. I've broken, I think, almost every bone possible in work and so forth. But when one member suffers, all members suffer with it. And when the healing comes and you get to move that arm, then all members rejoice with that arm. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I'm going to briefly go into the callings, because this is not my emphasis, but the body. The body. We are, as a church, one body. And each one of us has a role to play, a calling, a purpose. And I'm going to come back to that. But, and God set some in the church, first apostles. The apostle will come next month. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And of course, he's going to lead into the chapter on love. And love tempers everything. If we don't have love, then everything that we do be as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I read this just to let you know there are different ministries in the church. There, and we do not have to compete. Everybody can do what God's called them to do. The gifts of the Spirit can be anyone that has been filled with the Spirit and has something to share, whether it's prophecy or working of miracles. I'm all for miracles and healings right now. It says, do they all speak in tongues? This is talking about the ministry of tongues and an interpretation. So, going back to the body and the purpose that each one of us has, I want to pay tribute to my family, because when I got sick, they rallied and jumped in and began to minister in this church like I've never seen a minister before. About that time, Sister Becky was elected as the first lady deacon, and she as well with ministry jumped in and began to minister. But on the day that I got sick, I saw my boys come and rally around their mom, and whatever you need, we'll take care of it. It wasn't long to where I was out of it, and they did the church. I never thought of replaying sermons at any point. I thought, okay, that's all we got, let's do it. And I've been so blessed by people that said, oh, that sermon touched me. Sister Frieda said that the last week's sermon was just perfect. The highest place. And that one wasn't too long ago that I ministered that in January. But I really felt like that would minister and that would pick people up and encourage them. So I want to say to my family, you did a heroic job in ministering to this church. My goal, I know I'm no Billy Graham. I know that. But I love this church. And I want to make sure people are encouraged and not beaten down. So many times, a pastor of a small church just comes in and pounds people. Why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you praying more? That's not my goal. My goal is to come and bring to you the word and let you know that you are a part of this body and we can't do without you. Everyone of you is a VIP, everyone. And we, not only can't we do without you, we don't want to even think about it. So I appreciate what my family has done, and they've done much more around the house, and just, Debbie is my life. I wouldn't be here without her. And then I want to say, this church, you're a part of my family as well. And I don't know if you're an arm or a leg. Doesn't matter. You're a part of the body and a part of the family. And we appreciate your faithfulness to God. And so we want to bring to you a word that would lift you up and let you know, hey, we love you and you're a part of us. And we want you to know that the things that are going on in your life are important to us. Some of us are kind of seeing the same things, right? We've experienced similar occasions in our life. But we want to pray for each other. We want to love each other. And we want to come up out of some of these battles, because we've got too many battles. We need more victories. I've heard 100 sermons on how to get victory. And my heart is that we just trust in Jesus. And it is sweet to trust in Jesus. Jesus will not fail us. We just need to trust His grace and His mercy is everlasting. I have a song. I don't know if this irritates you more than I just like songs. And I think songs help us to, number one, help us to worship the Lord. And number two, kind of lifts us up during the week. This song is "Bind Us Together" by John Keyes. "Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together in love." Debbie said that we always sing it with love. However you want to sing it, there's only one God, only one King. There's only one body, and that is why we sing, "Bind Us Together." I want us to be bound together. I want us to be blessed. I want nothing that's possible to pass this congregation over. I want us to see the miracles. I want us to see deliverance. I want us to see the love of God just wrap us up. Anything that comes from outside to bother this body, we will fight with all of our heart because we're one. And we don't want to be messed with. We've fought battles before, and we're ready to do it again. But we want to enjoy. God has blessed us. We have no troublemakers. Isn't that amazing? Even a small church sometimes has troublemakers, but we have none, and we're grateful. Debbie, would you come to the piano? Precious Savior, we're thankful for this word, and we're thankful for your people. Lord, my heart is like every day that you bless Calvary Temple and that you bless their families. Because, Lord, we so love our families. We want our kids and our grandkids to know you, to serve you. We want them to be protected. We want them to be blessed in their life and strengthened. So touch us and touch our families. Lead us, Lord, in the ways that we're to go in the near term. Help us to understand every step that we take to glorify and magnify your precious and holy name. I pray strength on each one. In Jesus' name. I don't know how we can do this, but I'd like us to come close into the front and join hands. Thank you. however you want to do. I just want us to submit to one another as you join hands and as we pray. Lord God, we're thankful for Calvary Temple Church. We join together this morning and we belong to you. We belong to you. I pray, Jesus, that you will bind us with cords that are so strong that nothing the devil can offer or nothing that a person can do will separate us. Lord, we pray that you'll bind us together with love. Bind us together with love. Oh, let the love just pour out. We love each other. We care. We care, Lord. Our hearts are with our brothers and sisters. And when they mourn, we will mourn. When they rejoice, we will rejoice. Because that's a way of a body and a family and a church. I pray, Lord, that you touch each and every one. We submit ourselves to each other. We submit ourselves to you. Bind us together. And Lord, we feel like in doing this, we please you. And we open doors for blessings spiritually, miracles to come into our lives. We honor you, Jesus. Amen. Anyone like prayer? For anything? Take away his racing heart, Lord, that you will settle it down to where it beats normally. Lord, I praise you for your power and your mercy. In Jesus' name. Precious Lord, I pray that you'll touch Sister Barbara. Lord, heal. Heal this left eye in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name, heal this left eye. Lord, we'll glorify you. Thank you. your mercy, Lord. Consider ourselves dismissed. Shake hands and be friendly. Good to see you. Good to see you. Thank you. Oh yeah, we used to sing it a lot more.
Did you okay?
Clayman, good to see you. Good to see you, Dave. Bless you.
Huh? I hope you do well this week.
Thank you.
You're stronger.
I'm feeling a lot better right now. Better than I have in a while.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah. So you looking for something? Yeah. So now I'm going to start. Now I actually have time. I was working 12-hour shifts in the background. It was a test. So now I'm.
Pastor, a couple weeks ago I had on the board. What a beautiful name it is. It was inspired by a song by the Tabernacle Choir, you know, the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And you should look it up on YouTube.
I have.
What a beautiful name it is by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. It was so beautiful.
Yep.
I was thinking of you. You should look it up.
Okay. Bless you. I appreciate it. I need it. I know, and I feel the prayers. I really do. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, he went on a short-term mission trip with a bunch of high school kids and